Lord and give him praise and celebrate his goodness. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap and let's rejoice in him. Amen. You know, we're in blessed times. We're in blessed times when our offering has a series. Wow. Well, speaking of series, a new series today, and all the saints said, amen. Yeah, and all the saints on podcast said, yeah, we heard that. Amen. We love you too, and this is a new series. This is very important to me because this is one of the foundational principles that the Lord showed me when I fell in love with him as a teenager. And there was basically about three main emphases that the Lord showed me as a teenager that absolutely have been foundational in my life. The first one was this, is that my Heavenly Father loved me unconditionally. I didn't know anything about that. I'd been to church, and actually I'd already prayed to receive Christ, but I didn't know that Father loved me unconditionally. It was probably preached, it was probably taught, I never caught it. But I want to tell you, when I fell in love with Jesus, he showed me that he didn't love me based on performance. All right, based on my report card, based on my performance, but he loved me unconditionally. Wow, that just absolutely set me free. And that just blessed me that the Father really did love me, and he loved me in spite of me, and he just loved to love on me. Now, I enjoyed that. You enjoy that. Okay, the second thing really went like this, is that not only did he love me unconditionally, but he wanted to fellowship with me continually. I had no idea. I thought I was way too small, way too minor. God had way too much to do. And I was just blown away that when I found out that the Lord wanted to continually fellowship with me, that he wanted to talk to me and he wanted me to talk to him, and he wanted this to be something that was continual, day in and day out. He wanted me to fellowship with him, and that was my purpose, was to fellowship with him. That's what I was created for, to bring him honor and glory and fellowship with him. And so that was powerful, okay? Now, you've heard this in some of the series that I've taught, especially over the last couple years. And the other one was the one that we're starting today, was praise and thanksgiving. I had no clue about what praise and thanksgiving was all about. I thought it was just singing. Yeah. Well, it can involve singing, but it's so much more than singing. Okay, and praise and thanksgiving. And when he showed me the power of praise, I want to tell you, it changed my life. And I was most likely not a very positive person. I had some wrong thought patterns. If you would have met me, you'd have probably thought that I was an angry person because I had a quick draw temper. And, but I'll tell you what, the love of the Lord, fellowship with the Lord, and to find out that he loved praise. I found out what he loved. He loves praise. He loves fellowship. And he loves loving on me. I want to tell you, that changed my life. And I've never gotten over it. And so this is why that you hear this theme. Now, I've preached on praise. It was the first series I ever preached on. It was in the 1970s. The late 1970s. Yes, I've been here for a while. And been preaching for a while. But it was the first series I ever did. It had that much impact on my life. And I want to tell you, even though there was a lot of believers in churches where I was preaching that had been saved a lot longer than I was, a lot more mature I was, you know what? They needed to hear the same message, that Father loved them unconditionally and that Father wanted to fellowship with them. And the other thing was that the power of praise. All right, so listen, this can change your life. It changed mine, and it can change your life, all right? And so it's amazing to me that, you know, you practice. We've got people going through Proverbs on Wednesday nights, and when you practice meditating on the Lord, it's amazing how the Lord will use what you're using, what he's using with you to minister to other people. I'm amazed at the quiet time I have in the mornings, that the calls that I get for ministry during the day, the very thing the Lord was ministering to me ministers to them. That's the power of the Word of God. It's amazing. how active and creative the Word of God is. And it's amazing to just see how the Spirit of God uses that. But I'm telling you, home runs. Just because you spent time with Jesus and let the Lord minister to you, you'll find that to be true in your life. As the Lord is ministering to you, He'll use that same to minister to others. As the Lord has comforted you, you comfort others. Okay, very exciting. So we've spent a lot of time this year on the power of rest, or the principle of resting in the Lord. Resting is the place of belief. And you know, that's something the Lord was working in my heart a year or two ago, this past year. Now, this year, I've been studying a lot. I've been preaching on rest. I've been studying healing. I've never did a series. I've spoken on it, but I've never done a series on healing. But you know, I started on this a couple of years ago, okay, leading up to this series. If I'd have started out a couple of years ago and just said, we're going to do a series on healing, then, you know, it just wouldn't have. Even with my own pastors, it wouldn't have been a rah-rah and a yay-yay. I'm being honest with you. But what happens is that we get to know God, and we find out that it's about the Lord, and we get to find out what the Lord's character and what the Lord's nature is about and what the Lord's heartbeat is, and you know what He wants to do in our life. And you know what? Healing is a part of salvation. I'll admit to you, there's times in my life where I didn't have it there. I just didn't know. I was el stupido. There were seasons where I believe that is a part of the atonement. And then in those other parts, I said, I don't think it is. But it was just because of my own walk. It wasn't because of the Word of God. But when we line up with the Word of God, even when it's not in our walk, it's amazing how the Lord will make that manifest to us. And He'll begin us on the journey of getting to know Him. And that's what this is about. The last couple years, I've been trying to lead you in different series to come up to this point. Now, when are we going to do the series on healing? It's coming in January. Right now, we're doing a series on praise. It's very important ingredients, very powerful. I think the last time I spoke on it was 2011. I think before then, it was about 2006 or 7. But you know what? The reason I do this is because it's so powerful. And it's so important, and you cannot ever grow to the place that you go beyond praise and thanksgiving. All right? Now, if you were to go back to 2011, find that series, it wouldn't be the same thing I'm covering now. If you were to go back to 2006, 2007, when I did that series, it was a pretty long one back then. And, you know, it would be different than what it's true. But, you know, I'm at a better place. I'm at a greater place. I'm at a more knowing place. Doesn't mean I was preaching false then, but it's just that I have greater revelation of it. Amen. Okay. Thank you for understanding that. Amen. All right. So this current series on praise, very important. I want to tell you this. This started out my practice as a teenager. It was continual practice. But I want to tell you, when I went through some of the darkest times of my life, around 2004, 2005, 2006, I want to tell you, this principle, this practice, helped me keep my eyes on Jesus. Amen. Through the darkest times of my life. So I'm not just preaching to you something that's a theory. I've lived this. Okay? And this is important. And this will help you. I know this will help you. This helped change my life and keep me from going under. And you know what? The Lord will use this in your life. All right, you ready? It's a weapon of our warfare. Hey, I'm talking about something that's more than just singing with James on Sunday. Thank God we do that. Okay, but I'm talking about practicing aggressive praise. I started to call it this, aggressive praise. But it's a weapon of our warfare, and it's a weapon of our warfare against a negative, dark world environment. Because we live in a negative, dark world environment. Okay? Blessings journals are a part of this. I'll probably touch on that. But here, it's something to practice. It's not something to hear between the ears. It's something to practice. And if you don't practice it, it's just not real to you. You can know about it, but you don't have the knowing that makes a difference if you don't practice this personally. Don't wait till Sunday. Don't wait till James gets here. I'm telling you, you've got to have a personal, aggressive praise program. Amen. Thanksgiving program. And it's got to be activated. It requires personal participation. Praise should be purposeful. It means you do it on purpose. You don't wait until a song comes on that makes you feel good. It's a purposed practice, okay? And it's something to be directed. You don't just sing because the shower makes you sound good. Okay, it's not that, okay? It's to be directed to the Lord. All right, it's just like when we talk about faith. It's great to have faith, but there is a common man faith that don't really matter a rip when it comes to spiritual things. And so you hear people in the world say, well, you just need to have faith. And what they mean is you just need to be positive. Okay, there's some direction in that, but I want to tell you something. The real deal is where your faith is directed to. Amen. Who's the focus of your faith? And when the focus of your faith is Jesus, that's where the difference is. Because faith is really the saying the yes to what God's already said and what God's already done. It's our yes expression. And so that makes a tremendous difference. But Thanksgiving, and when you practice Thanksgiving, and when you practice praise, it creates a balance in your life. Okay? Without practicing praise and thanksgiving as a way of life, your life is out of balance. It's like wearing one shoe or one boot. Okay? You can still make progress, but it's just out of balance. And so I'm telling you, it's like your equilibrium is messed up if you don't practice praise and thanksgiving. Remember, he loves praise. He loves faith. He loves praise. He loves love life. He loves fellowship with you. Let's give God what he loves. Amen. Thanksgiving is your spiritual pulse. Okay? I saw a doctor this week. They called me in and wanted to see me and a little blood work, all that kind of stuff. You know, one of the first things they do is that they want to check your pulse, you know. Let's see how it's doing. You're pretty excited. But no, you know what it is? Because, hey, listen, Thanksgiving is your pulse rate. It's the pulse rate of a believer. If you're not practicing Thanksgiving, I want to tell you, you're not healthy. That's how important it is. It's your pulse rate. All right, it's primary for spiritual health. And there's all kind of excuses. I've heard them all. I've probably used them all. All kind of excuses for people not to practice praise and give thanksgiving. But let me say this. No excuse is a reason. Amen. Because he is always worthy of praise no matter what's happening to you or what hasn't happened to you. Or what storm is on the scene, or what circumstances have built up, or whatever the enemy has built up this big wall of problems and intimidating. He's always worthy of praise. He's on the throne. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's always worthy of praise. And I'm going to be sharing how that there, and some of them right here in the Bible, people that were in a lot worse shape that you're in than you're in. All right? Are you listening? Okay, saints, are you with me? People that are in a lot worse shape that you're in, and they practiced a determined, diligent, over-the-top praise and thanksgiving, not only to the advantage of their well-being, because this will minister health and life to you. A merry heart is better than like medicine to your body. That's what the Bible says. A merry heart, a thankful heart, a praising heart is like medicine to the inside of you that affects the outside. Wow. Well, if we really believe that, we need to practice it. But not only I'm going to share with some people who practice that to the advantage of the well-being of their own soul, because it does bless your own soul and your own body, but also to people that practice praise and thanksgiving to the place of their deliverance. You need to be delivered? I'm telling you. Hey, anybody need freedom in any area? I'm telling you, the Lord will use this because it's a weapon of our warfare. Praise is one of the weapons of our warfare. And we're going to cover a lot of scripture because we love the word. Praise and thanksgiving is not an emotional decision. But it's a by grace through faith decree. It's a decree. And it's a declaration of what he says and what he does and who he is. That never changes. And so that's always proper. It's always protocol. It's always the right thing to do. We'll find out that if your faith is taking a hit, and I want to tell you, sometimes our faith takes a hit. Hey, I get hit. I know these pastors well. I love them. I believe in them. They're amazing men of God. Their wives are amazing women of God. But I want to tell you, we all take a hit sometime. All right? But when your faith takes a hit, praise is a weapon. Okay? Not only against doubt, because you know doubt wants to show up. And doubt wrestles with you, with belief, unbelief and belief, and it's a wrestling match. But I want to tell you, praise is actually a spark plug for faith. It actually helps jumpstart your faith. That's how powerful it is. It's a jumpstart. People think, well, when everything works out good, then I'm going to praise the Lord. Or when all this battle is settled, or when this storm is gone, then I'm going to give thanksgiving to the Lord. That's backwards. It's backwards. Let me announce something to you. Carnal Christians do that. You know carnal, it's worldly thinking. Now carnal can be sinful, but not all carnal is sinful. It's just worldly. But all worldly is death. And so I'm here to tell you, even unbelieving Christians that are not believing for the moment, at the moment, they do that. Let me make another announcement. Even people that don't believe practice that. And so that's not the victory mindset. Okay? That's backwards. Faith, hope, and love agree. Give thanksgiving and praise before the event's over. Before the event starts. After the event's over, start in praise and thanksgiving. And when you do that, it helps you put on a pair of glasses. I have a pair of glasses up here, and my wife would probably encourage me to use them more. But it goes something like this, that when you practice praise and thanksgiving, it gives you glasses to see Jesus. It helps you see Jesus clearly. It's a spark plug to faith. You see Jesus, His word becomes clearer. When you're practicing praise and thanksgiving, it gives you a mindset, a heartbeat to receive from the Lord. His hope rises up. And everything about Him that's in the invisible, you go ahead and celebrate before it arrives. Even before the challenge begins, or when it does, during and after, you practice praise and thanksgiving all the way through. It's always right to do. Matthew 14:27, and I'm just going to tell you, I don't have time to go in the background of it, but the disciples, Jesus stayed on shore, told the disciples to go to the other side. They're in the boat out in the middle of the lake, the sea, and a great storm comes up. And they've been battling this storm for a long time. This is not a quick storm. I mean, it came quick, but it stayed. Anybody ever experienced a storm like that? Okay, shows up out of the unexpected. I mean, you weren't expecting. It shows up, and it becomes fierce. And after a while, it seems like that you've been tossed and to and fro, and you're weary. And you know what? Water's coming in the boat. It looks like that this could be the death. This could be the drowning. Looks like you're going under. And you know what? It's in the middle of the night, about 3 o'clock in the morning. It's in the late watch. And here comes Jesus walking out across the waves. He's a water walker. He's walking across the waves, and they see him, and they're scared because they think it's a ghost. Now, we look at it from Monday morning quarterbacking, and we look at it and read it and say, yeah, we've heard that before. They should have known. Well, you know, first time. They'd never seen anybody dance across the waves. All right? And here they are about to drown. They're in a crisis. Are you listening, saints? They're in a crisis. They're in the boat. Here comes Jesus walking across the water. And I want you to hear the first thing that he says to them. This is the first thing he says. But instantly he spoke to them saying, take courage. Take courage. Now I want to tell you about this word courage. These pastors can look it up. James can look it up while we're sitting here. He's that good. But I want to tell you, when you look up this word courage, it always comes back to cheer. Cheer. Isn't that something? Well, Lord, you're just not very sensitive to our situation. We're in the middle of the lake. It's dark, middle of the lake, water coming in. We've been fighting this storm a long time, and Lord, we're about to drown. We're dying here, death all around. And the first thing you say is, be of good cheer. Yeah. Now, when I studied the word, it comes out like this. Courage. And that's what you see here in the Amplified. Take courage. It's a cheer that brings courage. Hey, how about this? A victorious cheer. And guess what else is included in that word? I was surprised to find it. Comfort is there. A comforting courage that comes from cheer. You say, well, how are we to be able to do that? As a matter of fact, American Standard Version, King James Version says, be of good cheer. Okay, so we're to comfort ourselves. Get this, we're to encourage ourselves. Be courageous because of good cheer. Well, how are we to do that in a crisis, in a death situation? He gives the answer, and it's right after that. Be of good cheer, have victorious cheer, because I am. Now, Moses heard this, because that's his name. That's God's name. You know what he says? I am. I am whatever you need. Amen. Whatever you're facing, I am. And so what he is saying is this. You be of good cheer. Have courage. Because I am. It is I. The I am is I am. Present. The I am is present. And so I'm announcing to you, yeah, we see ourselves in a mess. We're in a boat, storm coming, look like we're going to drown. I'm telling you, darkness overcoming us, look like the waves are going in the wind. But I am telling you, the first thing Jesus says is this, have courageous, be courageous because of cheer, because we can have cheer and be courageous because the I am is present. Amen. Now, if there's any doubt about it, okay, because I want to tell you something. He's our peace. Amen. He's our joy. He's our love. Now, if there's any question about what he was saying, he settled it with the next part. That means don't fear. That means you don't have to be afraid. Because the I am, it is I, I'm present. So you, be of good cheer. Be courageous. Be comforted, be courageous, be of good cheer, because the I am is present. By the way, no fear. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to fear the next part. Stop being fearful. Okay? Victorious cheer. Because of who he is and because he is present, we can have cheer. We can choose by faith to celebrate and encourage ourselves, be courageous, and celebrate in spite of the storm, in spite of what's happening, because we know the I am is present. Wow. And the result of doing that, practicing that faith, is that it's faith over fear. You stop being afraid. You choose life or you choose death. See it, saints? Okay, this is first words. Well, Lord, you're not really being sensitive. Why don't you wait before saying something like, be of good cheer, and be courageous, to be sensitive to my trouble in my heart and my fear that I'm about to die here. And why don't we wait till you still the storm? Then we'll celebrate. More than that, why don't you wait till we get to dry land? Then you tell us to be of good cheer. And when we're in for sure safety here, when we have complete victory, then we'll celebrate. No, no, no. Jesus, in the middle of their crisis, says, be of good cheer. Be courageous. Practice victorious cheer. The great I am is present. I love that. Listen, if you wait until it's all over, you're going to miss. You're going to miss. Praise and thanksgiving, it's supposed to be a part of our faith lifestyle. We practice praise and thanksgiving not because of circumstances, but because of who He is, what He says, and what He does. And it's a part of our trusting, leaning, and having confidence in the Lord, because we know, we're assured, we're confident that the I Am is present. And that creates a faith and action lifestyle, praise and thanksgiving. You see, we live in a fallen world, and because we live in a fallen world, there's always something wrong happening near or far somewhere. Okay? There's always trouble at 5 o'clock somewhere. I'm trying to get you to understand. Now, I'm telling you, it's so amazing, this journey, because sometimes there's just seasons of storm. Seasons. Days of attack. And the Bible tells us to do all that you can to stand. We use our weapons of warfare. He has not left us without weapons of warfare. Part of our weapon of warfare is praise and thanksgiving. And so take that weapon and use it and practice it, because it's very, very effective against the powers and the works of darkness. It's very, very effective against circumstances. It's very, very effective against doubt and speculation and unbelief. It's very effective against fear. You see it? So there's always something wrong somewhere. But in spite of that, there's seasons of attacks. There come seasons. Would you admit this? There come seasons of just peace. Aren't you glad? There's seasons of just relief. Wow. And great peace. And joy. You don't hear the thunder of shots being thrown at you, and you know, the words are not coming, the thoughts are not coming, and you know, you just have peace. Well, I want to tell you, we call that R&R from the Lord. Now, I want to tell you the biggest mistake that Christians make during the R&R season. They back off the Lord. Don't do that. Don't back off the Lord. When there comes, and if you get to experience one of those breaks where everything is calm, then by all means, seek the Lord with everything that you got and allow the Lord to restore you, renew you, and recharge your batteries. And this is a great opportunity to grow and develop in Him. Hearken to this. Many people seek Christ only during crisis. Did you hear? It's so important, I'm going to say it again. Many Christians only seek Christ during crisis. No crisis, no Christ. Okay? He's supposed to be more than a 911. He will help you during 911. But He wants to be more than a 911 for you. Okay? The biggest test for believers is not crisis. Well, I nearly got knocked down with that amen. It's true. I want to tell you, even the nominal Christian, the carnal Christian, the Christian that doesn't live for the Lord every day, when it gets to crisis, they call upon the name of the Lord. And the Lord loves for you to call upon, and He will help you. He loves you so much, He will help you. But let me tell you something. Hey, He's more than that. And He wants to be more than that. And so I want to tell you, if you just come to Him in crisis, you're going to miss out on great growth opportunities. The biggest test is not crisis, it's peace. What do you do when the Lord rescues you? What do you do when the Lord sets you free? What do you do when that relative or that relationship, they're not mad anymore? What do you do when you get the miracle and the Lord answers your prayer financially? Okay, do you back off or do you press on in? Resting in the Lord, if you remember that series, I just finished it. It means to come to the place of believing. It means staying in that place of receiving. And I want to tell you, there's a lot of people that miss out, because the greatest test is not crisis, it's prosperity. And so, if you have that R&R season, enjoy the Lord's presence, let Him recharge you, and get ready for the next adventure in your journey. Okay? You say, well, it's all over. I've arrived. No. You haven't arrived. This is still planet Earth. You're not in heaven yet. And the calm that you're enjoying, and it's okay to enjoy it, but press into the Lord, very well may be the calm before the storm. The next storm. I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm trying to encourage you. Don't wait till you have the perfect life to praise Him or celebrate Him, because you're going to miss out on the benefits of praise and thanksgiving. Now, once you get to heaven, you'll enjoy it, but don't miss out on them here. Victory and the benefits are for now. Psalm 34, 1 through 3. Let's look at this. I will bless the Lord at all times. Wow. Is that clear? That's crystal clear. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You see, I'm not the first one that's preached this. This is the Word of God. Now, I want to tell you, I've got a one of my sons in North Carolina. He pastors there. Chris pastors in Austin. But I want to tell you something about Zach and Becky. It really touched me a little over a year ago. The very night that they found out that something major was wrong with their little baby Isaiah, they called me. And they said, Dad, the local hospital won't tell us what it is. We don't know what it is. They won't tell us. They're sending us immediately to a children's hospital in Pittsburgh, which was a couple hours away. And so here they are driving through the snow, the wet, the cold. It's at night. They've had to pass off their kids to someone else. They know that something major is wrong with their little baby. And they're driving in the car and they call me. And you know what they said? Would you listen to this? Lord, if you heal Isaiah, we'll praise you. Lord, if you take Isaiah, we'll praise you. I want to tell you, it doesn't mean that they had days of doubt, didn't have days of doubt. Doesn't mean that they didn't have a season of struggle. But I want to tell you, heaven celebrated their praise that night. You understand that? Are you listening? I'm telling you, that should speak. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So no matter what you're facing, He is still Lord. He's worthy to be praised. And God is good whether we can see it or sense it or smell it or taste it or touch it. My life, look at this verse 2. My life, would someone in the house say lifestyle? My life makes its boast in the Lord. You know what that is? That's a believer that's all in. I'm telling you, with my voice, with my thoughts, hearken, you hear that? With my thoughts, with my voice, with my body, with my life, I'm going to boast in the Lord. And look at the effect it has. Let the humble and the afflicted hear and be glad. I want to tell you, not only is praise and thanksgiving, does it absolutely enrich you from the inside out, being able to see the Lord. See His heartbeat for you. See the goodness of God. But it also affects others around you. Okay? Let the humble hear thereof. The afflicted hear thereof. You're not the only one in this world that's afflicted. Okay? Now I want to tell you what we could do. We could get all the afflicted together and talk about our affliction. We could get all the afflicted together and talk about who's got it worse. And moan and groan and say that that helps us. I'm telling you, that don't help. Okay? But I want to tell you, when there's even one that's committed to make their life boast in the Lord, the humble, those that are really seeking God, hear it. Amen. And the afflicted hear it. And even though they're still in their affliction, even though the circumstances haven't changed, they are made glad in their heart, because I'm telling you, joy is contagious. Praise and thanksgiving affects people. It affects an atmosphere. It affects your attitudes. It affects an atmosphere. This is so exciting. It ministers people. It ministers hope and joy to others when we praise Him. Verse 3 says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. It's an invitation. get in on this with me. Come on. Let's ride this train of honoring God and blessing God together. Because I want to tell you, one of the things you're going to find out is that praise and thanksgiving blesses God. You minister to God when you practice praise. He receives this personal. And so, look, it's an invitation. Come and let's magnify the Lord. Hey, let's honor and celebrate the Lord and not our problems. Let's honor and celebrate the Lord and not our own self. Let's honor the Lord. Let's magnify the Lord together. Let's exalt His name together. Okay? Honor the Lord, dishonor the junk. Or are we going to honor the junk because we dishonor the Lord when we... You see? Okay, here we go. Does this mean just on Sunday? I'm telling you, praise, thanksgiving is catching, it's effective, it's addictive, it's contagious. Do you get it? Do we do this just when things are easy? No, it's as a lifestyle. All the time, it's infectious. It changes your attitude to reflect the kindness of God. It preaches the goodness of God to other people. Okay? It helps you and others receive the loving kindness of Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, this letter was written. We're going to spend quite a bit of time there in this series. But it was a letter written by Paul when he was in prison. He was in prison. Okay, listen to this. He had been in prison for years. It wasn't his first day. He was waiting for possible execution. Catch this, he never knew from day to day whether his head was coming off or not. That's what he was living under, in prison. And I want to tell you, in Philippians 4, he wrote nothing. There wasn't one thing negative. Okay? It was all good. It was all pleasant. Paul mentions joy and rejoice 17 times in 4 chapters. Do you know why? Because he lived it. This was his lifestyle. And it didn't just help him survive, it helped him thrive. And not only that, it ministered a lot of hope and joy to all believers. And we're talking and receiving about it this morning. A couple thousand years later, by these same principles. Now, look, this is something you can do. You don't have to be super spiritual, mature saint to begin to practice praise and thanksgiving. This is something babies in the Lord can do. This is something you can do. Well, what about my circumstance? It's something you can do. I know sometimes folk say, well, you just don't understand, preacher. You know what? I may not have been through what you're going through. A lot of probably have. Okay? Leaders get the opportunity to go through things. Okay, but sometimes people feel like, because I so want to move to the good stuff, that maybe I don't take enough time to count all the tears and hear all the, and so sometimes people think that I'm really not compassionate about their struggles. But listen, this is no condemnation to you. You know, I'm not here to minister condemnation. Jesus didn't come to minister condemnation. I'm not here to minister condemnation, but I love you enough to tell you the truth. And it goes something like this. Self-pity is dangerous. Okay? The attitude of self-pity, and it goes something like this. I've got it so bad. Nobody understands what I'm going through. If people knew just how much hurt and pain and agony, you know, and woe is me, and I've got it so bad, and nobody cares. Look. I'm just saying to you, there may be facts in those statements. But I'm telling you, the attitude is what's dangerous. The attitude of self-pity is anti-Bible. The attitude of self-pity is anti-Christ. And I've had people get mad at me about this, but you know, this is what it comes down to. You cannot be a victor if you have a victim mindset. I got to say it again. You cannot be a victor if you have a victim mindset. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you. Self-pity is not a fruit of the Spirit. It's a fruit of self-centeredness. Okay? And when you practice self-pity, It's like this little restaurant that I saw the other day. It's got an entrance, and then it has this little sign, all deliveries are to be made in the back. And I look around to the side back there at the back, and they got this big bay door, you know, where trucks can back up. Kind of goes down, you know, backed up where they unload trucks for the supplies of the restaurant. Doesn't come through the front door, goes through the back door. When you have self-pity, it's like you have a sign out that tells the enemy, bring truckloads of despair and distress and discouragement and depressions and disturbance. You bring them to the back door, there's a big door for that. It's like a highway that you've given the enemy to come unload his stealing, killing, and destroying into your life. When you put out the sign of self-pity, it says, bring it all to the bay door in the back. I'm receiving. Is that too strong for you?
No, that was good.
No, I'm here to tell you, self-centeredness and self-pity. I want to tell you, you say, well, the devil, no, I want to tell you, we do that to ourselves. We make that choice. And so it's kind of like what Abe Lincoln said, you know, you can get glad in the same pants you got mad in. And so what I'm trying to say, it's Bible. I know Abe Lincoln said it. I like it, but it goes something like this. The same pants you got sad in, you invited self-pity in, you can be glad in. Okay. Now, whether you are saying amen or oh me, or you're even thinking bad thoughts about me, I love you. Don't tell me about them. Tell Pastor Don about them. But look, you have the most to gain from this series. And at the very least, I'm telling you, I've helped people with this. It's so simple, but when they grasp it and begin to practice it, it changes lives. Because it's a weapon of our warfare. At the very least, you can listen to it and say, I don't agree, but at least listen. Because it can be a life-changing series. And hey, we only have faith for what we hear. Faith cometh by hearing. This truth will help you set you free to flip your mindset. Okay? From negative to positive. From fear to peace. From worry to trust. There's a lot of health and healing that can be received when we're set free in the mind. Because strongholds work like a dam, like a fortress, to keep us from receiving. Do you have that picture? The Western fort? That's what a stronghold is like. And 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. Do we have that? Okay, let's look at that. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty, our weapons. And praise and thanksgiving is a part of this, not the only. It's a part of it. Praise and thanksgiving, they're mighty before God for the overthrow and the destruction of the strongholds. Amen. Hey, the fortress in your mind that keeps you from receiving from God. And as much as we refute arguments and theories and self-pity, fits, reasonings, self-pity, I got it worse than anybody. Nobody knows what I've been through. Hey, look, listen. And every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. Because self-pity is a lie. Okay? All right. Against the true knowledge of God. And we lead every thought and purpose away captive. See, this is where praise and thanksgiving helps you change gears from self-pity mindset or negative mindset to Jesus mindset. Enter to his gates with thanksgiving. Come into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Hey, I want to tell you, the manifested presence of God is received when we practice praise and thanksgiving. And it takes into captivity, because you can't be on both channels at the same time. It takes into captivity under the obedience of Christ. Lord, I'm going to obey you. Okay, I'm going to follow you. I choose life. I'm going to obey you. And it helps us. Okay? And so, where are strongholds at? This tells us strongholds are in the mind. They're in the mind. It's between the eras. And so we replace that junk between the eras with truth, and we practice praise and thanksgiving because He is a good God in spite of what we're going through. And we praise and celebrate Him for what He says and what He does and who He is. Then, hey, listen, it takes this junk captive. The real word there is arrest it. Wow, that's good. Philippians 4:4. How am I doing? Well, whew, okay. I love the Lord. Thank you for being a patient listener. Let's look at Philippians 4:4. Rejoice. This is Paul in prison. Could have his head cut off any day. Been there for years. Rejoice in the Lord always. That ought to be clear. Amplified brings out, to delight yourself in the Lord. Gladden yourselves in Him. And again I say, rejoice. Now this is something all of us can do. Okay? I told you about one of the Wesleys. I don't remember which one. Do you remember which one that had the wife that was a witch, you know? You remember? Okay. Whichever one it was, okay, either Charles or Wesley, that had a wife that would absolutely, while they were preaching, would be at the back cussing. That absolutely was recorded that while he was praying that she would spit on him. Okay? Whichever Wesley it was, great man of God, he also said, same one said, every Christian needs to make their soul happy in the Lord every day. I believe he was referring to this. Now look, this is Paul. Can you see that he gives a double emphasis? A double emphasis, before and after. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Gladden yourselves in Him. Okay? Every day. Hey, continually. Always. Anybody see always? Now first, I think the first declaration, and I think this is why he said this. I may be wrong. This is Tim thought. I think the reason he did a double emphasis is because people would say, now he didn't really mean this. You know, after the first one. Hey, boat's going under. Storm, wind, dark, waves, death. Rejoice. Be of good cheer. Rejoice always. Oh, surely he didn't mean that. And he comes back and said, yes, I did mean that. Because I really did mean this because I'm saying it again, twice. So you would know this is for real because this is something he practiced diligently. And he was in a lot worse circumstance than you are. He said it twice so you would know this is for real. Yes, that's what I said, and I mean what I say. Some of you may be thinking, well, that doesn't apply to divorce. Yes, it does. I've been there. I didn't walk in it perfectly, but I want to tell you, this helped me. Okay, death, I've been there. Okay, I've been there when the doctors come in and said, son, you're dying. We're calling your family together. I've been there. Okay, I want to tell you, this is real. Okay, I've lived this. Okay, you may be a loss of job, maybe bankruptcy. How about rejection? Betrayal hurts real bad deep down. How about this serious sickness? Okay, that sometimes goes on for years. Well, I'm telling you, this still applies. And we're going to see in this series how to overcome anything this world or this enemy can throw at you. How to look at the unknown, because Paul was facing the unknown, and see Jesus. And praise your way through it. Are you interested in this? You ought to be. Heaven's very interested in you catching this. As it is in heaven, so shall it be on earth. Okay? I love you so much. I better continue this next week. And because I could keep you a little while longer. And I love you so much. Those on podcast, thank you for joining us. We're going to pick up right here next week. There's a lot more to share. And we want to be a part of what God's doing. Amen. Let's give the Lord a thank you and an honor for His word. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We love you and we bless you. Now, we've already